A foreign correspondent walks away from the romance of Paris cafe conversations, literary pursuits, a life of ideas, to sit in a windowless basement classroom in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Why? Because at 33, with a pregnant wife and mounting doubts about journalism's future, he's chasing something he can't quite name. Maybe it's security, maybe it's reinvention. Or maybe it's the seductive promise that Harvard Business School whispers to every ambitious soul. You can learn to win at capitalism's highest levels. This is where future CEOs are forged, where Jeff Skilling of Enron once sat, where the language of power, finance, strategy, negotiation is spoken fluently. But here's the uncomfortable truth that emerges from 2 years inside this elite institution. The education is world class, the network is unparalleled, and yet something feels fundamentally hollow. The school produces insecure overachievers who know how to value companies but struggle to value their own lives. It's a factory for ambition that rarely asks the most important question: ambition toward what end? Picture 89 strangers in a semicircular classroom, your name displayed prominently, the professor ready to cold call you on a case you studied until 2 a.m. Welcome to Harvard Business School's required curriculum, 10 courses, forced grading curves, and the looming threat of hitting the screen, suspension for poor performance. The case method means preparing 500 pages weekly, participating in graded discussions, and joining study groups where former Goldman Sachs analysts and military veterans make you feel perpetually behind. First semester covers accounting, finance, marketing, operations at breakneck speed. You learn Butler Lumber can be profitable yet cash-starved, that Dell eliminated inventory entirely, that Warren Buffett dismisses beta as trivial. The content is rigorous, but the atmosphere is a pressure cooker where everyone subtly competes over pre-MBA credentials. The real social engineering happens through sections. You spend the entire first year with the same 90 people, hosting parties with booze ludges and constant pressure to demonstrate Section A love. The demographics reveal patterns. The three M's, military, Mormons, McKinsey, dominate, along with bankers and consultants. The friendships are genuine but transactional. Everyone's building networks, conscious these relationships might become partnerships or job connections. It's community with purpose, warmth with calculation. Winter break ends and Hell Week arrives. Consulting firms and investment banks flood campus for recruiting. Students frantically compete for career-defining summer internships. The irony is stark. At section lunches, former consultants and bankers describe soul-crushing hours and cynical cultures, actively discouraging others. Yet when recruiting begins, these same firms attract stampedes. Why? At Harvard Business School, you're an insecure overachiever, a term heard so frequently it becomes a diagnosis. Despite world-class credentials, students crave external validation through prestigious offers. The pressure creates existential crises. One student publishes an article about battling depression and contemplating suicide 3 times during first year. Warren Buffett visits to a standing ovation, advising students to find work they love. Beautiful wisdom, yet most chase finance and consulting jobs they don't want. Some make brave choices. Annette forfeits her $60,000 investment banking scholarship for fashion marketing. Lewis abandons prestigious corporate offers for entrepreneurial work in Madrid. But there are exceptions. Most follow the well-worn path toward money and prestige, postponing the question of what they actually want. Second semester introduces Leadership and Corporate Accountability, LCA, Harvard's attempt to give future business leaders moral compasses after producing alumni like Enron's Jeff Skilling. Professor Badaracco guides discussions through ethical frameworks, but the class reveals a troubling divide. Half see business ethics as naive idealism, the other half as essential guardrails. When HBS applicants exploit a website vulnerability to check admission status early, the school revokes their acceptances. Most students disagree with this harsh punishment, revealing how elastic their ethical standards have become. The real dilemmas emerge in private equity discussions. The model: acquire companies using massive debt, extract management fees exceeding your original investment, then ruthlessly cut costs to service crushing interest payments. When titans like Carlyle's David Rubenstein and Blackstone's Steve Schwarzman visit campus, they advise students to be principals, not service providers, and note that with money comes freedom. Students learn sophisticated frameworks for analyzing ethical dilemmas, but the implicit lesson proves more powerful. With the right rationalization, almost any business practice can be justified. Strategy forms Harvard's intellectual core, teaching students to be generals marshaling resources rather than specialized functionaries. Michael Porter's Five Forces framework, barriers to entry, supplier power, customer power, substitutes, rivalry, explains why some industries generate consistent returns while others struggle. Airlines work beautifully but make no money. Pharmaceutical companies print cash. Competitive advantage comes through cost leadership or differentiation, ideally through integrated activities competitors can't replicate, like Walmart's ecosystem of frugal culture, rural locations, stellar logistics, and supplier relationships. Porter, Harvard's sole business school guru, teaches microeconomics of competitiveness. He's applied his frameworks beyond corporate strategy to entire countries, from Libya's economic regeneration to Rwanda's post-genocide recovery. Yet reducing complex human societies to strategic frameworks feels troubling, as if Rwanda's path forward is primarily a business problem rather than a moral and political one. Leadership courses reveal deeper limitations. Despite endless discussions about authentic leadership, the school can't answer fundamental questions. Who are you? Why are you doing this? How much will ever be enough? In a final class, a future bond trader asks, "How will we know how much is enough?" Responses range from work-life balance platitudes to financial independence targets. Nobody has a satisfying answer. The school teaches strategic thinking about companies, but not about your own life. Every successful visitor confesses personal failures, broken marriages, estranged children, regrets, yet students still pursue wealth over balance, as if they'll be the exception. Fast forward to graduation. 42% enter financial services, 21% consulting, only 3% choose nonprofit work. Median first-year compensation hits $138,125. A banking analyst notes our class's financial sector choices signal an impending crash. Within months of graduation in 2008, the global economy craters. Harvard Business School alumni occupy key positions: president, treasury secretary, SEC head, bank CEOs. The narrow thinking, greed, and refusal to accept responsibility should unsettle everyone. 2.5 years later, the happiest former classmates took unconventional paths. Traditional corporations instead of financial firms, nonprofits instead of consultancies, small ventures instead of tech giants. HBS is a factory for unhappy people, one classmate observes. We have so many choices, and yet so few people seem happy about that. Harvard Business School delivers fluency in business language, an elite network, brand prestige, and confidence navigating corporate environments. The case method builds analytical muscles through examining hundreds of real situations. But the school also instills something troubling, a belief that business thinking applies to everything, that optimization and efficiency are the highest values, that wealth accumulation is the primary measure of success. Learning to value companies doesn't teach you to value your own life. Harvard's most valuable lesson might be unintentional. Prestigious credentials don't automatically create meaningful lives. Insecure overachievers remain insecure regardless of achievements. Comparison kills happiness, especially in environments designed to foster it. Those choosing unconventional paths, living rurally, writing from home, prioritizing time over money, often end up happiest. If you're considering business school, go with clear eyes. The education and network are real and powerful, but don't expect answers to life's fundamental questions. Learn business language, build confidence, make connections, then have courage to define success on your own terms. The real test isn't getting into Harvard, it's whether you can build a life you actually want to live.